frustration and exasperation, and he said to her, "Nicole, why do you always have to play?" And she said to him, "Because I'm three, Daddy." And that's what three-year-olds do. They play. Now, would it be nice if our sense of identity always stayed this clear? But think about it. We have many identities in our lives. Sometimes we think about them as the hats we wear. When I'm in the office, I have maybe my CPA hat on. When I'm home, I have my mom hat or my wife hat or maybe both of those hats on. You have them as well. But there's also one that we may not always immediately think about it and think to share if someone was to ask us who we are. When we're baptized, we're anointed with oil and with these words: "You are sealed with the Holy Spirit and marked with the cross of Christ forever." Right here. Can everybody do that? Right? Marked with this identity, we're invited to share in God's mission in the world. And in our gospel today, that's what Jesus is talking about. That because we're in relationship with Him, we become salt and light for the world. Two things that we know the world needs. And while we grow and move through life and our identity shift and change, this one always remains. It's there and nothing takes it away. So our readings today really got me thinking about identity. In the passage from Esther, we begin in the fourth chapter, and as the kids already knew, and maybe all of you know, Esther is queen of Persia. But Esther, like us, has other identities as well. She was a young Jewish woman. She was an orphan. She was living at a time when the people of Israel were scattered after having been conquered. And as a young woman and an orphan, Esther was way down at the bottom of the scale in the social order. But she had the good fortune of being adopted by her cousin Mordecai. Now they lived in Susa, the city where the king of Persia lived. And the king had banished his queen, Vashti, because she didn't come when he summoned her. And so then the king had no queen. So in order to find a new queen, they held a kind of beauty pageant in the kingdom. They gathered up all the young, beautiful virgins and paraded them before the king so that he could pick a new queen. Well, as you know, the woman that was picked was Esther. So now she's the one who's queen. The Jewish orphan girl is now living as queen, and her cousin Mordecai still lives in the city, and he's keeping watch over her from a distance. He's going about his business. But today in our story we hear he's lying outside the king's gate, he's in sackcloth, and he's mourning because all of the Jews are going to be killed. And in the meantime, Esther's inside and has no idea what's happening. She's surrounded by all the comforts of the palace, and no one there even knows her identity as a Jew. She's relatively secure, but she's not just the queen. We know there's more to her than people say. Now, when Esther hears her cousin is outside the gates, what does she do? She immediately sends clothes to him so that he can take off his sackcloth. But Mordecai refuses. Now, it was easy for her to do this because she was the queen. But Mordecai sends back word and tells her what's happening. And now Esther has to look deeper at who she is. As queen, she has certain privileges and power, but those privileges only go so far. Not even the queen can go to the king unless she's been summoned. So now if Esther waits to be summoned, it might be too late for her to do anything. And if she goes in uninvited, she could be killed. So the stakes are a lot higher now. And Mordecai has asked her to remember that she's one of God's chosen people and to intervene for the people. He wants her to stretch the boundaries of what she thinks she can do as queen. But stretching boundaries can be risky. People have expectations about what a queen does. And it's pretty certain that in Esther's time and place, would not be on that list. But God isn't limited the way the world is limited. As Esther hesitates, Mordecai tells her that he's certain that God will act. Help will come from some quarter. But maybe Esther has come into this identity as the queen for exactly this time. Maybe this identity, given to her by the world, is bigger than Esther can imagine, and it will be the one through which God will work to save God's people. It's an opportunity for Esther to remember clearly that she's a member of God's chosen people, and to trust God to work with her. But really, trusting in God when the risks are high, it's not easy, especially when we can't see the path that God may have laid out. And Esther understands this, and that's why when she replies to Mordecai, she tells him, "Gather all the Jews and hold a fast, and I'm going to fast also. And when I'm done fasting, I'll go to the king. And if I perish, I perish." Now, it's a little dramatic, but the point that I don't want you to miss is that Esther asked the community for their support. She remembers, she knows, she feels that taking a risk and following God's path is difficult to do alone. But God never asks us to do it alone. Not only is God with us, but we're also surrounded by the community, by this body of Christ. Now, supported by that knowledge that she's part of something bigger than herself, Esther acts. And it's by stretching those boundaries of her identity as queen that God's will is done and the people are saved. The hats we wear in the world are really tools that we're given to live into our identity as disciples, sealed with the Holy Spirit, marked with the cross of Christ forever. Now, in our identity as members of this congregation, we've gathered together an amazing abundance of gifts for the kids in our dormitory. It's like filling that closet or that room over there. We supported young people who aged out of foster care and are starting their young adult lives. We feed hungry people through the food pantry. We sew quilts for those who are cold. But Esther's story today presents us with a bit of a challenge. When we have our congregation member hats on, it's easy to be salt and light for others, to see how God can work through us, and it really doesn't carry that much risk. The challenge is to push the limits that exist in our other identities as we look for the opportunities God gives us to be God's hands in the world. As the Queen of Persia, no one would have expected Esther to act on behalf of the people of Israel. To do so carried a lot of risk. But remember, even when we can't see the path, God is always working. Jesus tells his disciples, "You're salt and you're light, both things necessary for life." They become those things because they're in relationship with Christ. And the same thing is true for us. We're given the opportunity to be salt and light in our identity as ones, sealed by the Holy Spirit, marked with the cross of Christ. But Jesus also gives a warning in this gospel message. Salt, when it's not cared for and used, it in effect loses its saltiness, it's wasted, and it's not good for anything. And light, if we cover it over, can't bring life anywhere. God is constantly working to bring his kingdom closer to completion. God desires and wants us to be part of that work. In this season of Advent, we look back and we remember the birth of Christ, the light that came into the world. We look at our world today, where there are still dark places, and we also look forward to the day when Jesus returns and God's kingdom will be complete. Like Esther, we all have multiple identities in our lives. The invitation and the challenge is to remain clear about our identity as one sealed by the Holy Spirit, marked with the cross of Christ forever, and to let that one be the driver of all the others. Sometimes it will be easy, and God changes the world through the easy things that we do. But sometimes it is harder, and God is always inviting us to expand the boundaries of our worldly identities, to be salt and light, to take a risk, and to trust in God's promises. We live in a world that has many dark places, places where people struggle to see God's light. Sealed with the Holy Spirit, marked with the cross of Christ forever, we've been identified as those invited to bear God's light. For the ones in darkness, God's light will shine. The question we have to ask ourselves is,